Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And we have just been through a wonderful celebration worldwide, and it's called St. Patty's Day. So I hope everybody tonight has the luck of the Irish. And as we continue through this week, we have a lot of planetary activity, and we've got the expert as our guest tonight to tell us what it's going to mean. We have a change of signs, the sun moves into Aries. We have a new moon. I think we're going through that now. And we also have the dreaded Mars conjuncting Saturn in Capricorn on April 1st. My guest tonight is Mark Dotage. So, Mark, that's a lot for 1 week.
And you forgot to tell him that Mercury's turning retrograde on the 22nd until April 15th.
I left that to you. Yeah,
try not to scare him off, I think.
The tax program is going to go to haywire.
Yeah, it is going to be a very interesting spring, and people's lives are going to change. I mean, I know we say that all the time, but there's big stuff this spring.
We haven't had this energy since 1991. So I went back to 1991 when Mars conjuncted Saturn in Capricorn, and I found out that it was the beginning of the Gulf War, but it was the end of Russia having any influence on the Slavic countries. And when I looked at my own life, things changed. My son got married and moved to Tennessee, and it was the year my mother died. Isn't that interesting?
Wow, yeah.
So that's more karma too.
And I think as part of, for the current picture, is, you know, we've got the full moon at the end of this month, and then on April Fool's Day, which is also Easter, is the actual exact alignment of Mars and Saturn.
Right.
And so, you know, there's always a high and a low to everything, as I know you know. And, you know, the low could be that it could be real complicated because Mars wants it yesterday, hurry up, and Saturn says be slow, be patient, et cetera. But the way you put that together to make it work is if you're willing to put short-term physical energy into your effort, into long-term plans, they could really do quite well with this over the period. It's just when people want it yesterday that they get in trouble with this kind of energy.
And that's 90% of us.
Well, and the reason I even add to it with this full moon at the end of the month is, Elizabeth, I know you know this, but for the audience, astrologers love to draw patterns. We get out our little highlighters and our rulers and all that. And the full moon in Libra Aries at the end of the month makes a pattern we call a T-square to this Mars-Saturn conjunction.
Oh, boy.
So I like to describe that as a three-legged chair that should have four legs. You can sit on it, but there's this constant tension going on. And almost like you feel like you're being pulled apart in three directions at the same time, hopefully to be reintegrated, put back together in a better way after that.
Well, you know, I likened it, you know, people want love life. So I likened it that you're with a partner and an older partner that you used to care about comes back into your life and wants you now. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay with the new partner? Or are you going to go back with the old? That's kind of what this is about. It's really pushing and pulling.
Well, interesting that you bring it up in that way. And first, the part of the answer would be, well, knowing we're going into Mercury retrograde, you kind of want to give your decisions the test of time until April 15th before you make any carved in stone decisions. Because as you know, when you make concrete decisions in Mercury retrograde, they always readjust on you after it's done.
And don't forget, people, that when you see somebody for the second or third time with Mercury retrograde, and hey, they've been gone a while, they're about to exit stage left again. Isn't that true, Mark?
Very likely that they're just coming back to either clean loose ends up or heal.
Fan the flames or see if you still care about them. It's an ego trip.
A lot of times it's just a check-in, not necessarily a happily ever after white picket fence. And the other thing that, since you bring it up, that's really significant is because Mercury has been slowing down to turn retrograde for a couple of weeks now, in what we call the shadow period, it has been aligned with Venus really since the very end of February, which is a really long time for two quick planets to dance together. Mm-hmm. And of course, Venus is love, money, art, values, and Mercury.
And the home, Mark.
Home and making your home beautiful, particularly because it likes pretty stuff. Anyway, the point is communicating in relationships is a big deal between late February and the end of this month because they're dancing together, which is less common.
And another thing, if you're one of the four signs, which, tell me if I'm wrong, is Cancer, Capricorn, Aries, and Libra, and you've been wanting children, you could get pregnant in this energy because Saturn brings responsibilities of long lasting. Isn't that true, Mark?
You're definitely planning for the future. And of course, Mars actually rules sexuality. So, and the Venus we talked about represents sensuality. So you have both the sexual and the sensual in play here. So
yeah, but they're both in different signs. Isn't that true? Mars is in Capricorn. Venus just went into Aries.
Yep.
So somebody wants it fast and furious. And the other one says, put the ring on the finger first.
Be patient, be practical. And the other thing about that Venus and Aries, since they're in what, well, as you know, we call it detriment, meaning they're not in each other's favorite places. Mm-hmm. Aries is independence and Venus is I want relationship. So, you know, those relationships, when you're in relationship, you wish you were out. And when you're out, you wish you were in. or the one day you want to be in relationship and the next day you're happy alone. And so I call it the need to balance individuality, Aries, with relationship, Venus.
And you can be in a relationship without giving your life away. You don't have to be married to be in a relationship. But here's my definition. I want him. I got him. I don't want him.
That's the classic interpretation for Venus being the opposite of her favorite place to be.
And her favorite place is Libra, which is opposite Aries. Does that bring any more significance now that she's in her opposing sign?
Just the fact that for most people, it's trying to balance their self needs with their sharing needs would be the key thing. But, you know, Venus can also play into the money aspect, too. So some people are going to be looking at their budget, particularly with tax time. And the reason is, you know, the term rulership means certain planets like certain activities. Well, this Capricorn we've been talking about rules taxes and government and rules and regulations.
So there could be an inquisition or something. I do want to remind people on Let's Find Out that this is a call-in show. And the number to call if you want to talk to Mark is 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. Well, all of us want to win the lottery, Mark. And I think last night, the winner of the $400 million or whatever it was in Pennsylvania. I figure that's as close as it's going to get to me.
Well, you know, Jupiter is the planet of luck and he's traveling through Scorpio. And we know back on the 8th, he turned retrograde, the illusion that he goes backwards until I think it's about July 10th. So the planet of gambling is actually going in the wrong direction. But that doesn't mean if you've got favorable, what we call aspects in astrology within your chart to gambling or those kind of places, absolutely.
So Jupiter going retrograde has always baffled me. I don't quite understand it, except that everything slows down. Can you explain it a little better?
Well, I like to joke with retrogrades that it's like a country western dance, one step back to be able to take two steps forward later. And Jupiter rules coaches, mentors, ministers. At the core, it rules your belief system, travel, long-distance travel in particular. And so when it's going backwards, you're reviewing your philosophy, or I like to use the RE words for retrograde, review, revise, retreat, et cetera, redo.
Or renew.
And so knowing that it rules your philosophy and your belief system, we all have to stop and say, are we on track with the actions we're taking in this world? Are they in harmony with our philosophy? For example, we always see a lot of people who are working in a job because they have to have the money, but they hate the job. Yes. And they keep staying and it gets worse and worse because they hate being there. Well, Jupiter would say, hey, it's an abundant universe. Maybe we need to go backwards and, shall we say, redo our resume or something. to do the behind the scenes work to go find a better job. Or in Scorpio, as you know, Scorpio rules those deep emotions. You know, we jokingly call it sex, death, and taxes.
That's true.
So people going down into that very vulnerable place to look, are you carrying any self-defeating beliefs or behaviors that are preventing you from going to the next level, to doing things in a bigger way? And that's a perfect thing to do with Jupiter retrograde in the deep emotional side of Scorpio.
And you're also, you can experience a sudden victory in your career because you might free some things up and be able to find a better place to be. But let me tell you what I think. Mars and Saturn can build up as well as destroy wealth when they co-join. And it's a challenging transit for family and relationships as the older worn out patterns get challenged. And whether for good or for ill, your life will change for you by this transit. Isn't that true?
It is true. And, you know, another piece we could add to that is at equinox, the moon's in Taurus, and it's making what we call a trine, which is harmony, to this Mars and Saturn. So if you're looking for a pressure release valve or something to make it not so hard, well, we go to the moon, which has to do with tending to your emotional needs. And then Taurus has to do with your values. So I would think, to use a Capricorn word, restructure, people restructuring their values to be more in harmony between their emotions and their actions would be, shall we call, a way to help this challenging pattern.
Well, I'm going to throw in Chiron, and I'm going to say that people who may be thinking that they're breaking up are going to come back together again, and people who have been praying and praying for a baby and about to give up could get pregnant, and I think we're going to have unexpected, wonderful surprises, as well as unprecedented weather, which we already have. And of course, we have to watch the world. I don't know what could happen. I mean, in 1991, it started the Gulf War, so we could be starting something now. You know, everybody's holding their breath.
Well, and it's good that you bring Chiron up, because he's finishing his run through Pisces. And, you know, the wounded healer, the half horse, half human centaur, caught between worlds. I don't fit in the horse world. I don't fit in the human world. When it moved into Pisces back around 2011-ish, you know, Pisces rules the ocean and fish. So we had the Gulf oil spill, wounded oceans, wounded fish.
And, you know, the night that that happened, I was on a cruise on the Mexican area coming back into L.A. and the Japanese earthquake happened March 11th.
And that would have been, of course, the day that Uranus moved into Aries, and he's going to leave Aries and move into Taurus, the next sign, in the middle of May.
Yeah, right. So, but Chiron in Aries is a whole different ballgame. Can it wake you up? Can it get you out of depression, Mars?
It can certainly give you a kick in the backside and say it's time to get yourself moving here. One of the things I've been looking at, because, you know, we always see previews in society of what it might mean, is, you know, how Aries rules guns and knives and swords.
Yes, I have that also too.
Acupuncture needles, things that are healing, surgical tools. But one of the things we're seeing is our wounded children are now standing up and saying, wait a minute, we can't keep doing this.
That's right.
The adults need to make some sort of a compromise with the NRA. And since we know the NRA isn't going to turn around and, ban guns anytime soon, Chiron, I like to use half-step strategies because it's moving into the sign of guns and knives.
Well, we're going to see more and more. You know what freaked me, Mark? Back in October, when I was on Coast to Coast, I said that the kids, the teenagers, were going to take to the streets, we're going to walk out of the schools, and we're going to demonstrate. I think we're just seeing the beginning of some kind of a trend, because if there's any more school shootings, these kids are going to refuse to go to school. And then what are we going to do? That will force a change.
And the one thing we're seeing is what we'll call half-step strategies, like the getting rid of the bump stock option, or the stores that say, no, we're not going to sell assault weapons until you're 21.
Yeah, they just did that in Florida, thank goodness. Yeah.
But we're talking about half-step strategy with Chiron, not the full thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but well, remember, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just was looking at Mars, and it's an element of fire, and it sometimes can represent a direction. So I'm getting a sense about the southeast. I guess we could have some fires in that area, and then the water is going to come in. I think we're still going to have the rain for those rivers. I see the Missouri, Mississippi, and Ohio River all coming together as one. I don't think that's going to stop.
Certainly, whatever language you use for climate change is certainly having an effect, be it earthquakes or floods or mudslides or you name it, you know, fracking type problems.
Yeah, and that's earthquakes. I said this was the year of earthquakes and the year of attempted assassinations. And from what I can understand when I meditate, the earthquakes are going to begin April 1st. But the energy happens before the action, so that means that the earthquake could happen just before April 1st.
Yeah, and I'm a little cautious on actual doing dates because the astrology versus the geology is so different. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I agree with you that because Uranus, which rules earthquakes, is moving into Taurus, which rules the Earth, and for the next 7 years, mm-hmm. I think some of these places that have been saying an earthquake's coming, we just don't know when, is going to see it coming.
Good old California. And I saw an earthquake coming across from Japan over to Alaska and down along Canada and Upper California. But I also wondered if that was because Korea was doing some underground bombing. So you never know.
Yeah, it's hard to say what the causes are. I mean, you can directly relate Oklahoma, that's never had earthquakes, to fracking earthquakes. So on some things you can do that. And in the terms of the West Coast, though, pretty much everywhere from Mexico City or even all the way down to Santiago, all the way up to Vancouver, BC, is just an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, I think so. You said something about being without air in your report this month, I think. And that reminded me of the direction that these powerful energies can cause enough distress that both planets are bigger and more malefic and capable of causing sorrow and pain. I don't like to think about sorrow and pain, but it causes delays, obstacles, and even creates stress. And stress, of course, is hard on the body. But what's the positive side of it?
Well, and what I was talking about is that every moon or equinox or eclipse, I count up, you know how we use earth, air, fire, and water as the elements. Well, periodically, an element will either be weak or missing. And in this case, it's the air element. And what happens is people either overdo or underdo when an element is missing. And so air has to do with our ideas. It has to do with social and communications. And so one thing that could happen, people get stuck in their rut and they can't see a way out of it. You know, they don't open their mind to get beyond whatever the limitations they've set up for themselves. And the air element helps you get out and talk to people and share and say, hey, maybe there's a different way to do this. Instead of getting that hard-headed.
Some people, they just curl up in fear, right?
That's it. Yeah, let's hide under the covers. Exactly.
Now, Saturn indicates wounds by metal. And Mars indicates loss of blood. So that can be car accidents, and that can be train accidents and aircraft. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we've already seen it. This bridge that just fell down in Florida.
Oh, that's something.
Capricorn rules infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Saturn actually rules steel.
But that doesn't necessarily mean guns. I think it means more like swords. You know, Japan, the country Japan, doesn't have guns. They settle things in other ways, but they have swords.
Sure, but Mars also rules martial arts. It rules guns, knives, sword. It rules acupuncture needles, yoga, dance kinds of things. The concern I would have just on a physical level is that Capricorn rules bone, skin, teeth, knees, hair, and Mars rules impatience, and Saturn rules be patient.
So don't go get a haircut.
Well, the way I like to describe it is, hey, there's no one there to help you move the sofa, so by gosh, you'll do it yourself, and then you hurt your back.
Yeah.
It wasn't true. Because Mars and Saturn were out to get you. It's because you got impatient and wouldn't wait for help.
Right. People do that, too. They really do. What about crossing the street, working in the kitchen? And it also can bring on an early delivery from a baby, especially at the full moon.
Huh. Fertility's not one of my specialties. So
I was talking about the metal and the blood and having the child early and having maybe to have some kind of physical help from the doctors.
And certainly with Mercury retrograde in Aries, which is an impatient combination to begin with, that would certainly be a valid thing to say.
And we'll have more tweets and we'll have more incorrect news, fake news, as they call it.
Yeah.
What can we do in this lifetime? What can we do to help with this conflict? And you could also get into a legal battle. What can you bring into your life that will help ease this for you and your family?
And I think using this Mars-Saturn theme is to have, before you pass on that tweet or that email or something like that, stop and check to see if it's a hoax or if it's good or if it's based upon, what do you call it, the political fact checker section in the paper.
It's Snoops. Isn't it Snoops online? The address is Snoops, yeah. SNOOPS.com if you want to check.
Yeah. It's just that, those of us who know better should not be passing those things on, because we're just spreading fear in the world. That if we just stopped and took a minute to say, is this legitimate? Is this true?
Mm-hmm.
That's not just pointing fingers at, the current president, because in politics, all sides, play fast and loose with the truth.
Well, I think the energy is a dynamic combination of hot and cold. You have ample energy to do the task, but is it sensible? And then you have to jump over your obstacles. So I think everybody needs to go ahead on an individual level. We can't really predict what's happening to everyone. And there's plenty of scope for hard work and productive results, provided you pass on all the small frustrations and delays in between, right?
Yeah, and that's the advantage of knowing your own chart. If you know where the early degrees of Capricorn are, mm-hmm. you know what part of your life this Mars and Saturn is activating. If it's in your seventh house, it's your committed relationships. If it's in your 10th house, it's your career. And that's the advantage of knowing your chart, is you can go, oh, this is happening in my career place.
Mine's in my first house, and I don't think it opposes anything.
Well, but that's you publishing and promoting the books and now the tea and Saturn is the wise elder. So here you are bringing your wise elder out to help people.
And we're also doing the movie, and it's very exciting the way it's coming along. So that is exciting. But we have from 1991 till now, we've worked through the Gulf War, and we've worked through all of the different countries that got free, and they're getting better. The republics are beginning to lead wiser, and women are starting to get some rights over there. And this could continue on through the rest of the decade. So I guess that when you have something like this that feels like a loss, it's really a gain in many ways that might be hidden.
Yeah, you have to look at the whole picture. You have to look below the surface to see what's really going on other levels, because not to be beating up on the media or what have you, but, they put on what's going to sell advertising.
Oh, I know. And there's a lot of things they don't mention.
And there can be actually quite a lot of things. A few issues back, Time Magazine had a whole issue devoted to the good things people were doing around the world. That weren't really what you'd call newsworthy.
Some of things are really pretty good. My son, the doctor, the eye doctor, has been working with a committee from Harvard, and they are the ones that develop laser eye surgery without cutting the eye. Now they're working on children in the DNA that are supposed to be born blind and how to change that so they'll be born with sight. I think that's amazing, Mark.
I even saw a device that looked a lot like the guy on Star Trek's Geordi to help blind people see with this eye visor.
Well, they're doing something. I think it's wonderful.
It's pretty amazing. And it's just sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper to find the good stuff that's going on because it doesn't make the news necessarily.
Right. And I think to frame it all up, we're going to be a heavy workload. We're going to have more responsibilities and we're going to have to begin to prioritize. I understand there's a call from somebody named Pauline. Are you here, Pauline?
Yes, I wasn't sure what you wanted us to do to call in. And if you,
Pauline from New York.
Yes, I wasn't sure what you wanted.
Hello,
from
Pauline.
To call in. Hello, can you hear me?
Can't hear you.
I don't know. I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, I'm sure you can, but you must be on a cell phone.
Nope, I'm not on a cell phone. I'm on a landline.
Did you have a question for Mark?
I didn't know what I can ask because he's an astrologer, unless he has, like, a way to look at astrology.
Well, you're born on December 19th, correct? What year?
Yes, 1960.
So do you have a question?
No, just what, I mean, if there's anything, I guess he can't do anything without all the definite stuff, and that's kind of not you really can't do that on air.
Let's see.
Not
true, Pauline.
Not true. I can do lots.
Really? Just with that date?
He's renowned, Pauline. This guy is famous. Just take a deep breath and listen. Here we go. What you got, Mark?
Now, the one thing that I can't do is because we don't know your time of birth.
I know it, but I didn't know if you wanted it.
yeah, give it to me.
It's 8:54 p.m.
There
New York
go.
City.
Give him a second, Pauline.
Oops.
So, I'm so glad you called.
And it's New York City that I was born.
I know, that's our city. Mark and I love New York City.
So, you know, Pauline, we have what's called your sun sign, which, of course, was Sagittarius for you, and then your moon sign. And when you were born, the moon was in Capricorn. You were born right after the new moon. And I know this is fussy for non-astrologers, but you were born with moon right next to Saturn. And that's kind of this misresponsibility, meaning that you probably grew up faster than the kids around you or had more responsibilities than the kids is a very common thing. When that happens. But regardless of that, we track where the planets are now, and the planet Pluto is operating between 17 and 22 degrees of Capricorn this year, which I know is fussy for most people, but what's important, it's sitting on your planet of responsibility and also emotions, moon, home, family, mother, children, grandchildren, etc. And so this, whenever Pluto touches your chart, your life changes. And in this case, it takes about a year and a half to go through, and it just really started in the past month or so.
It has something to do, Pauline, it has something to do with authority and men and your father.
Yes. Okay, my father's passed, but it's like a new relationship, an old one just cropped back up within the last couple of
months. What did he say, Mark? We said that earlier. Keep going.
Yeah, I was laughing when you said that. I said, oh, and it's not during the retrograde. Happened early February, and it's an 18-year-old relationship that's come back in my life, and I believe this is my twin flame. I believe. I don't
know. In May, it could get serious, right, Mark?
Yeah, that's what actually the person's waiting for May for me. They keep telling me, hold off till May, wait for me till May. And I'm like, okay. I have no patience.
But do remember, this transit of Pluto is going to be going over you all year this year and a little bit into 2019. So number one, if you have any old emotional healing to do from like past people that done you wrong, it would be really important for this relationship to be able to develop if you're like, shall we call it
before he came back in my life. I've been working
and,
on
and
it.
And do you have an older brother, Pauline? You have to have an older brother.
No, I have no older brother, just my older sister. One that's older sister, no brother. She acts like a man, but she's not a man.
I was going to say, she has to be very strong-minded.
Yes, she's like she was like a mother to me, actually. So
she was bossy,
like 11
and
years powerful. Older than me.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a bossy one, but she
you got to heal that too, Pauline, and just follow your
own. Yeah, I'm working on that. We're trying to. Yeah, we're working on it.
One other thing, Pauline, is this summer, July 13th, if you want to be precise, we're going to have a solar eclipse in the sign Cancer. It's going to be the first of a series in Cancer and Capricorn, and it's directly going to oppose your moon and this Saturn. So in a joke, like we were talking earlier when we were talking about relationships, it's like one day I want to be in a relationship and the next day I don't.
Exactly.
And so you want to watch that this summer as to, and definitely be cautious about your boundaries, because it's the kind of thing that you could end up becoming, the mother instead of the healthy partner.
I don't want that.
Pauline, take a step back, break away from the relationship, go on a vacation, and then come back into it with a clear mind. That's what I feel. You don't have to break up with anybody. You just take a break.
I'm going down to the South to visit my son for a week and take care of my granddaughter. So that is my week break.
All right. Thank you for calling. Let's find out,
Thank
Pauline.
You so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, Mark, we've got to get to the commercials. We're way over time, and that's okay. We'll be back, and we'll do a little bit more schmoozing about what's coming with the spring equinox and as we approach the summer solstice. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Please listen to these messages.
Going outside to meet you, taking my bowl of string, just in case I need to find my way back. Going outside to meet you, I'm taking my bowl of string, just in case I need to find my way back. Tick tock, on and on and on and on and on. Tick tock, on and on and on and on and on. Tick tock, on and on and on and on and on. Tick tock, on and on and on and on and on. Going outside to meet you, taking my bowl of string, just in case I need you to find my way back. Going outside to meet you, taking my bowl of string, just in case I need to find my way back. Tick tock, on and on and on and on and on. Tick tock, on and on and on and on and on. Tick tock, on and on and on and on and on. Tick tock,
Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I wanted to introduce you to my blended new Ayurvedic tea. This tea is blended according to Ayurvedic principles and chanting of ancient Sanskrit mantras to assure a deep cellular healing so that you can begin to heal and have relief from within outward. This is a very special and focused elixir tea. I dreamt the ingredients of this tea and really believed that it came from the divine. This tea helps with illness because it penetrates. This tea helps with illness because it penetrates any damaged cells in the body and flushes out the poisons. If you are on heavy medication, this tea can be helpful with the effect, creating extra healing energy power. Drink just before meditating, while listening to ascension music such as Ardas, which is playing in the background, and chanting your mantra. The formula came from the divine and contains the holy Tulsa tea leaf from India. You can drink this tea hot or cold. The ingredients are honeybush, Tulsa leaf, turmeric, lemon peel, cinnamon bark, ginger, and cloves. This tea is available only at the website new-visions.com or through Elizabeth Joyce. Elizabeth Joyce's Elixir Tea is not available at the stores as yet, but it will be very soon. Pick up a pouch, sit by your fireplace, play Ardas, and sip your tea. It will also help you with troubled sleep. Remember, this tea helps you relax, be calm, and raise your vibration from within. It all begins from the heart center on outward. If you wish to order the tea, you may call 201-934-8986. I'm looking forward to helping you with your healing as you work from within. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to let everyone know that my new book, a memoir, called Unlimited Realities, is now available on Amazon.com. It just got released from the publisher this week. This memoir is the life of a gifted seer and healer, how a woman transcends from pain and sorrow as destiny taps her on the shoulder. Rather than just shrugging off her problems, she began to gaze inward and upward. She became spiritually awakened and floated above her body, gaining wisdom and knowledge. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of saving my soul as well as my life. When Dick Clark was with us, he reviewed the American Bandstand chapter of Unlimited Realities and absolutely loved it. He said that Unlimited Realities would make a great read. So order yours now at Amazon.com, or you can order it from my website, www.new-visions.com. Don't miss this one. It is a great read and shows you a lot about now as well as the hereafter and what happens to us after we pass from this earth plane. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out, on Sunday evenings. It's a live internet show on bbsradio.com. Station 2. We discuss the newest spiritual books or uplifting books, new health modalities, metaphysics, and ESP. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize over a 7,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. It's really a good way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products to promote your website and gain credibility. You will love this show. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and talents in any way you please. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We go live Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. The email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking dates for May through the end of August 2018. Hope to hear from you soon.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Don't let the stars get in your eyes, don't let the moon break your heart. Love blooms at night, in daylight it dies. Don't let the stars get in your eyes, oh, keep your heart from me, for someday I'll return and you know you're the only one I'll ever love.
Too many nights, too many stars,
too many moons could change your mind.
Don't let the moon change your mind.
If I'm gone too long, don't forget where you belong. When the stars come out, remember you are mine. Don't let the stars get in your eyes, don't let the moon break your heart. Love blooms at night, in daylight it dies. Don't let the stars get in your eyes, oh, keep your heart from me, for someday I'll return and you know you're the only one I'll ever love.
And that was my buddy Perry Como. How I loved his music. Don't let those stars get in your eyes. My guest tonight is Mark Donish, the renowned astrologer who is really very good with relationships, but much better at relocation charts. And Mark, I'm afraid I have let those stars get in my eyes and change my mind many, many times. How about you?
Absolutely. It's, you know, since you mentioned the relocation astrology, I watch, you know, of course, I do a lot of them to begin with, you know, helping people find their right place on planet Earth. But I will tell you, this spring, that part of my work is spiking. And to me, what that means is a lot of people are going to be moving before next winter because they're all planning stages. And so we're going to see some migration of people this year.
And they're going to move north because they have to get away from the water and this terrible rain that isn't stopping. What I think is really happening is people are getting an inner signal to get settled before we go into the terrible 20s. So it's good to pay attention. You want a place with a well and you want to know how to grow a garden. In fact, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to go down to Washington, D.C. and take a course in growing an herbal garden. That should be fun.
Sounds good. Yeah. Sustainability. And of course, out here on the West Coast where I live, you know, it just it seems like every couple of months they come out with the next stage of earthquake preparedness.
Oh, I know. I get here too. Anyway, we do have some people waiting for you, Mark. We have a Genevieve from Los Angeles and her birthday is January 17th, 43. Good evening, Genevieve. How are you?
I'm fine, Elizabeth. And how are you, Mark, too?
Also, very good. Very good.
What is your question for Mark? And thank you for calling. Let's find out.
Well, you're welcome. Well, you said he specializes in relationships. I could go there.
What's your question?
Oh, well, my daughter and I, we patch this thing up.
When's your daughter's birthday?
Her birthday is September 25th.
Okay.
Oh, good grief. Where was she born? 1962.
September 25th. Well, you know, I feel like it's been a little hard. I think your daughter is angry at a lot of things. Not necessarily you, but she's just maybe angry at the world. And sometimes we have to blame other people rather than look at ourselves. But I do feel a lightening of it. What do you think, Mark?
Well, one of the things that she has in her chart, your daughter's planet Mars. Mars represents your masculine, your male warrior, et cetera, is in alignment with the planet Jupiter in your chart. So Jupiter is the take the high road, the coach, the mentor, the minister. Or if it goes too far, it can be the hellfire and brimstone minister, you know, too much overdue. And the two of you line up right there. And these are emotional signs. So my guess is on some level, she's been feeling, shall we call it an emotional restrictiveness in terms of how she acts relative to how you would do it. And where I'm going with this is this July 13th eclipse we're going to have this summer is going to land right on this point that the two of you have in common. And if you can find a way to go to the emotional level with her, and that would be good. And the other thing, and I don't know if this is even a possibility, but Jupiter rules travel and Mars in your daughter's chart rules movement. And so usually you tell people, well, let's walk and talk, not try to sit, you know, at a restaurant.
That's
or something.
A good idea.
It's you keep it in movement because that keeps the energy from getting all blocked up is what can happen.
Have you heard of Louise Hay, Genevieve?
Yes.
Well, why don't you try her forgiveness prayer? It really works. Daughter, I forgive you for everything you've done and everything you haven't done, past, present, and future. And I ask that you forgive me for everything I've done and everything I haven't done, past, present, and future. And you say no more. No more talking about shoulda, woulda, coulda, if, or the little pettinesses that are upsetting you. Just get to the road of forgiveness and have a new beginning if you possibly can.
I will try that. I mean, I saw her at my granddaughter's bridal shower today, but then I sat at her table, but then she left early, you know, so.
Well, you just can't get into it in the public. You can't get into it in a public place. Be thankful that she was there and that you sat at the same table. And you got to stop rehashing. If she starts talking about the past, tell her you don't need to go there anymore and just say, I love you, I forgive you, I love you, I forgive you, and see what happens. Or I love you, forgive me, if you want to say it that way. Anyway, thank you for calling. Let's find out. And you can follow up another time. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you so much, Mark.
We have one more, Mark, and then we have to close down for the evening. We have Linda from Delaware. She was born on January 12th. All these Capricorns are calling. January 12th, 56. And where were you born, Linda?
Hi, Elizabeth. I was born in Delaware.
What town?
I was born in Wilmington.
Wilmington, Delaware. Okay, just wanted to check. And you're born at 9:33 p.m., right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, what's your question for Mark?
My question is regarding finances. I spoke with you back in the fall, Elizabeth, and I think you were telling me that you felt money coming towards me probably in March. And, you know, financially it's been a really rocky, hard road. So I was wondering what, if anything, both of you could say regarding finances or money for me.
What do you see, Mark?
So number one, and I'll try to spare you some of the astrology, Linda, but the planet Venus is, we call it the ruler or the boss of your money house. So we always look at the boss of your house. And Venus, of course, is art and beauty and grace and relationships. And when you were born, it was actually in your workhouse, what we call the sixth house, work, health, healing, pets. And where I'm going to go with that is, and this is getting a little far out, but between late June and August, the planet Mars is going to be going retrograde. So that's people revising and reviewing their actions, what we'll call their war plan or their battle plan, which means that when we get to fall, we're going to have this Mars, this warrior energy, sitting on your Venus in your workhouse. So what I'm trying to say, all these words are trying to get to, is by the time we get to fall, whatever this reworking of things needs to happen in your chart will have happened, and that'll be an easier time to get that moving forward. So I know that's not really what you want to hear. Like I'm saying, oh my God, it's March and we're talking about fall already. But to me, this is you starting to put a plan together rather than, just when is this going to change?
And sometimes when you're doing psychic work, you get a message about March and something new could begin, and in a perception way that follows through and really expands in September. Like, for example, my tea, right, Mark? My tea came out in March, but by September, it could be everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get the idea of process across for you, Linda, because a lot of people come to an astrologer just, when is this going to happen? But they don't see that preparation process to get you there. Okay. And see, you have a lot of planets in your fifth house, which is fun, romance, creativity. And yet you also have your practical Capricorn in that house, too. These are people who turn hobbies into businesses, is one of the things mm-hmm. that people do this. In other words, it's got to be fun, but it's got to be practical, too.
But you got to find right. a way to bring money in, Linda, and I think that opportunity is coming pretty soon.
Okay, great.
And just one other thing, I'd have you go back and meditate on last August when we had that big solar eclipse, because okay. that solar eclipse in August landed on Pluto in your psychological closet, we'll call it, the 12th house. And a solar eclipse is about bringing new things out. And yet the 12th house is our fears. We shove everything off in that hiding place and we don't want to come out. And see, you have the Jupiter, the planet of teacher, publisher, coach, mentor in your hidden 12th house. And he's also, a prosperity god, the god of abundance. So we know you have mm-hmm. to bring your coach, teacher, mentor, minister out of hiding for this to work for you.
You're not far away, Linda.
You're not far away, okay. So come up to one of my classes or try to make sure you get down to D.C. when Alma comes in the summer. Keep in touch, and thank you very much for calling tonight.
Thank you, Mark, we're
at the end of our show, Mark, and it's wonderful having you on. I know you'll be back on in June, and next week we have Frank St. James, who's going to be helping people psychically with what's coming April 1st. Next weekend, of course, is April 1st, and it'll be interesting to see. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not. It's the 25th, and it'll be interesting to see what the energies are doing over these next 2 weeks. Mark, is there anything that we should prepare for?
Well, I think what I would suggest, if they're up to it, is on my website, astromark.us, I have just uploaded the spring quarterly newsletter, which is about a 10, 11-page newsletter that'll go into the details of some of this we've been talking about tonight. So that's astromark.us.
And but it's very thorough, very excellent.
Mercury's about to go retrograde, and so practice some flexibility and do some behind-the-scenes work over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Good. Well, I'm sure that we'll catch up with you in June. Have a great time in between. And we are going now go into our meditation. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I do appreciate your listening. We're going to have a wonderful song from William Vitalis, and which is called Moonlight on My Window. I had to pick that because we're talking about the stars tonight. We have a new meditation. It's called Creating Union, and it's about friendships and all kinds of relationships. And then we finish with Richard Shulman, who is going to musically put you in alignment. So get ready, get comfortable, and allow yourself to drift wherever the energies take you. Thank you and good night.
tonight. Sweet moonlight, moonlight on my window. Oh, sweet moonlight, oh, take me to the stars.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time for our nightly meditation. Tonight, we are creating union, which of course is the essence of human relationships. Please sit in a straight back chair with your feet uncrossed and flat on the floor. Or you can lie down on your bed with your feet out straight and uncrossed. Or sit in the lotus position if you desire. Take a deep breath and clear your mind. Take another deep breath and clear your mind again. One more time, clearing your mind. Now let's bring down the ring of fire. That's a ring, like a Christmas wreath, that you bring down over the top of your head, your neck, your shoulders, your body, your hips, your thighs, your legs, and your feet, and you throw it down into the ground. So let's do the ring of fire. Bring the ring of fire down over your body, taking a deep breath, and release it into the ground. Allow the fire to remove any and all negativity around you at this time. Take another breath. Let's do another ring of fire. Bring it down over the body and down into the ground. One more time. Take a deep breath. Bring that ring of fire down over your body. Let it remove all negativity. Feel it burning away as you get into a place of peace and throw it down into the ground. Release the breath. Allow yourself to go back to normal breathing. Creating union can help you achieve vibrant partnerships of fearless loving and mutual self-fulfillment. It provides the ingredients to go into the deeper meaning of an inevitable relationship. It also helps you with relationship difficulties. With a wise and gentle voice, your inner guides and angels will guide you in resolving difficulties while compassionately answering practical questions about sexuality, spirituality, divorce, separation, fear of intimacy, creating mutuality, and how to keep the spark alive in long-term relationships. Creating union is a basic primer for all of our relationships. It helps with empathy and gives you great clarity on the way back home to union. Knowing how to create union is a sweet and powerful treasure. Though the word unconscious is widely used these days, most of us cannot quite grasp what it means to have a vast reservoir of feelings and thoughts whose contents are ordinarily not accessible to us. This would not matter if the inaccessible material did not have an influence on our view of the world, our behavior, and our entire life. But it does, with a vengeance. We are going through a time in this spring of 2018 of difficulties, our past coming up to haunt us, and we need to take a sharp look at our thought system and how we react to the world around us. Therefore, it is crucial to allow the unconscious material to come to the surface, to learn the secrets of our souls that we have kept hidden even from ourselves. Take a deep breath and see yourself dropping away any judgments, preconceived notions, desires, and outcomes. Feel yourself floating in the white light of the heart center. Feel that white gold light fill you now. And allow. Tell your guides that you allow and accept that which comes your way, because you know you are protected. You know that you're a child of God and that you are never alone. Take a deep breath. From the perspective of a higher consciousness, a broad vista of human life can open up to you. We see various regions of our souls, those which are healthy and whole, and those which are flawed. The spiritual and emotional quagmires where our unfulfilling relationships have their seeds. Sometimes these seeds open and sprout because it's a part of the soul that we need to eliminate. We learn with amazement that we really know what we really feel, what we really wish, what we think or need. Childish, half-formed presumptions, confused feelings, unjustified fears and guilts, self-punishment patterns come to the surface when we are finally willing to find out who we are and how we function as love partners, as well as friends. Most of our problems have common roots because we are all human, which is encouraging to know as we set out on this quest to find our specific inner twists and knots. Energy healing is the answer for many. Energy healing helps you to go into past lives and perhaps see the root of the problem, or just to clear whatever is blocking your feelings of loving, close relationships. To heal our own soul is always our first task, but this does not mean that we have to wait to engage in a relationship until we are in full harmony with ourselves. That's a lifetime of work. Life is to be lived, but with a greater, wider consciousness. Our relationships will improve accordingly as we expand our heart center and allow ourselves to blend, meld, and accept other people into our world. There are various ways to coach unconscious vital material out of hiding. One is through meticulous, open-minded, non-judgmental self-observance. Meditation is unsurpassed in leading to the truth seeker into the labyrinth of his or her infantile world. Remember when you were 3 or 4 years old? In that infantile world, you drew a lot of conclusions and made a lot of assumptions that still are working with you now. Going in deep to your inner being, finding these erosions of the soul and eradicating them is key to raising your vibration and coming up into a peaceful, non-judgmental, loving, tolerant, and compassionate world. This is an inner journey. And may this meditation pave the way home to the God self of your center. This can be the greatest adventure of your life as you come from isolation into fearless loving. Are you ready? Are you ready to begin? Are you ready to expand your meditations into that which is necessary and do the work that needs to be done so that you can raise your consciousness and embrace the state of being, love, peace, and harmony? Say that you are, right now. Tell your inner guides that you're ready to open your heart, mind, and being to the fulfillment of love, peace, and harmony. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Now allow yourself to float as you listen to Richard Shulman help you expand your vibration and consciousness.